If you have a Bible this morning, would you please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to start a new series this week. It's 4 weeks called Attitude Check. And originally I was supposed to do the first three and Ryan was to do the fourth. There was a change in my plans, and so Ryan has been gracious in letting me go ahead and do all four of these, and then he's going to take part in the Christmas series that will be coming up. So we'll be the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about this theme, attitude check. And I want to start this morning with reading verses 12 through 15. Actually, I want to move on down to 16 too, that even though the scripture only says 15, I want to go ahead and do 16. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was previously a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and the love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost. Yet for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me as a foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Let's pray, please, as we begin. Father, I pray that you will open your word up to us this morning. I pray that as we begin this series on attitude check, that you might help prepare us for what we call Thanksgiving, realizing that gratitude is more than just that special day, but prepare our hearts to be and have grateful hearts. Lord, we're not always relishing what happens to us. We don't always cheer when bad things happen. We don't always cheer when tough things happen. And yet the one thing that can stand is there can be gratitude. And so I pray that as we go through this series and as we go through the message this morning, that you will prepare us for a heart of gratitude, that we will check our attitudes and see where we are. And I ask, Father, that as we study this morning, that you'll help us to, to understand, and then also be able to take the words that we study and apply them to our lives and help us to be grateful people. And I pray that as I bring the message, that you'll help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. It's in his name I pray. Amen. As I was studying for the message, I came across a story that I thought was really, really unique. I'd like to share that story with you. In the list of American presidents, one man shows up twice, Grover Cleveland, the only chief executive to serve two non-consecutive terms. He occupies the 22nd and 24th spot in the roll call of the presidents. He's also the man who dedicated the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor, and he's the only president to have gotten married in the White House. He was 49 at the time, and his bride, Frances Folsom, was 21, making her the youngest first lady in history, and their romance took the nation by storm. Now, if you look at the history of the presidents, you will find out that Grover Cleveland was a Presbyterian preacher's kid who was thoroughly trained in Christian truth. He grappled with titanic issues while he was in office. And in the middle of a national financial panic, he faced a personal crisis. He was diagnosed with cancer. And he endured top secret surgery aboard a friend's yacht, the news of which was hidden from the nation for years. Nevertheless, Cleveland kept up his strength, and he routinely worked past midnight. Historians have lauded him for his industry, his integrity, his courage, and his common sense. Now, the secret of President Cleveland's energy is found in a motto that he lived by. It was a biblical promise, which he framed and he hung directly over his bed so he would see it the last thing when he went to bed at night and the first thing he would see in the morning. He valued this framing so highly, he actually hung it on the wall of his law office before his election, and afterward, of course, in his bedroom. And throughout his life, he kept it within his eyesight. It contained a family crest, which were a set of words taken from the King James Version of Deuteronomy 33:25 that says, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." When asked about it, Cleveland said, "If I have any coat of arms, an emblem, it is that." He woke every morning with the firm conviction that God would give him the strength required for the work assigned. And he believed that God gave him sufficient strength for each day's tasks as long as he lived. Now, I'm going to come back to that story, but I want to lead in with that story, but I am going to come back to that because I want us to kind of move on a little bit from that story and realize that in the world in which we live, we need something to hang our hat on. We need something that we can stand with. And over the next 4 weeks, I want to share with you and hope that I can convince you that the coat rack upon which you can hang your hat is gratitude. And I hope that I will convince you by the time we are done that gratitude is the absolute essential because it reveals a person's core. It reveals our priorities. It reveals our presuppositions. It reveals our understanding of God. And it reveals our trust in Him as well. Because you see, gratitude becomes a place where we pivot. Some of you don't understand sports. So let me explain what I mean by pivot. Particularly in the game of basketball, a player has the ball, and when he plants his foot, that is his pivot foot. And unless you're in the NBA, you can't move. You can't move that pivot foot. I mean, they run 5 yards, and then all of a sudden they say, "Oh, let's stop." But when they get the ball, they pivot. They pivot. That foot can never come off the ground. Come off the floor. That is their pivot foot. I believe that gratitude should be our pivot point. We will either have a well-oiled hinge or we'll have something that's rusty and grungy. And whether we use it or not will determine how well it is used or what it looks like. So let's begin and let's kind of like lay the groundwork for the other three messages with this message on gratitude. And that's, first of all, let's set the standard. Now, in the scripture that I read to you in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we read the story of the Apostle Paul. And I want you to notice how he begins his message. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord." What we see here in this passage is a before and after passage. You know what a before and after is. You know, "I was this big before, And then they dropped the pants. Now I've lost 125 pounds on Suddenly Slim. And you need to be a part of Suddenly Slim. And then under, they really should put under in small letters,